And so today's talk is a continuation based off of Yolanda Van Zandt's book, Trust. And so trust is mastering four essential trusts. Last week we spoke about trust in self. This week we talk about trust in God. Week after next we'll talk about trust in others, and then finally trust in life. Back to trust in God. Well, actually, last week, I think you might have remembered me saying something about it. I thought it was kind of odd that Yanla placed trust in self first before trusting God. I think most of our teachings here at Unity is basically trust God, and then you have the capabilities of trust self. But I love how she starts it off in that you have to trust yourself, and not just in the ego self. It is trust your capabilities to be able to open up and to assimilate the knowledge of God within you, to open up and to hear the presence of God. I think here in Unity, a lot of us already think that we do that. It's like, oh yeah, I'm open to God. Then the next question, the next step of this is, do I trust God enough to do what I'm hearing? Do I really trust God? I think most of us fall into the line of a story that she shares at the beginning of one of the chapters. It talks about this gentleman who's in nature, and he's kind of distracted. We don't know why he was distracted. Maybe he was distracted by the love and the beauty of the trees, or maybe stuff was going on in his life. Either way, he was distracted on a narrow trail by a cliff, and in his distraction, all of a sudden, he falls off the cliff. And he is stumbling, he's kind of scrabbling down the hill, and he grabs on to a root or a vine or something, but he's dangling on for dear life. And he realizes, as he is dangling on, as he gets a sense of himself, that he can't do this for very long. He can't do this at all for very long. And so in a form of desperation, he looks up at the top of the cliff, and he yells out, "Is anybody up there? Is anybody up there?"
Yes, I'm here.
Who's that?
It's God.
God, help me. Get me out of here. God, help me.
Do you trust me?
Completely. Thoroughly, completely, just get me out of here.
Good. Let go of the branch.
What?
I said let go of the branch.
Is there anyone else up there? I think we laugh because we all understand that story. I think we all have done that, yes? We've asked for God's help, trusting that we trust in God, that we will do anything that God tells us to do. Anything that God says, we'll do it. Because we find ourselves in this desperate situation. And then when the rubber hits the road, and as dutiful students, we're open and receptive to hearing God's guidance, the next phase is, do we really trust? How much will we have trusted as we're trying to save our lives to release and let go of that root, that little nugget that we think is the only thing saving our lives? I believe I read this story in other places where it ends with, once the person finally releases and lets go, they find out that there's a ledge right behind, underneath them. Something that they couldn't see. And that's what usually happens with us. Especially when we go into a place of fear, that we don't see anything except lack of fear. I read somewhere a quote by B. Simpson, "Every fear is distrust, and trust is the remedy for fear." It's kind of hard to trust that you don't know. Trust itself is this invisible enigma. It's this thing that we do if we have faith. And it's kind of hard to have trust in something that is invisible, something that we claim that we know, but we actually don't know, something that is, in essence, an essence that we're looking for, hoping that we can find, not realizing that that essence is always here. And so that's what we're talking about today, is trusting God. For so many of us as humans, we go to the show me and I will trust you. You know, I came from Kansas. I wasn't born and raised there. I was there enough to say I'm from the show me state. And then I'll believe. God tells us, trust me and I will show you. Trust me and I will show you. That is easy to say. We so really want to do this, but it's kind of complicated at times to do. We're told never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an unknown God. I think there's certain reasons why we don't trust God. It's because one of the reasons why is that because the God that we think we know is a God from a philosophy, a theology that isn't very pretty, that isn't about a loving God. It's about an authoritative God, or authoritative Allah, or authoritative whatever you want to call it. That whatever the name of God that we use, we don't have a trust for, because this God that we try to trust isn't trustworthy. How are you going to trust a God that is up in the sky pointing down at you? Looking at the famous pictures of God pointing down and us reaching up to the ethers, trying to, but not touching the hand of God. How are we going to trust something that if we do something wrong, it will smite us? How are we going to trust a God that if we don't eat the right thing on the right day, if we don't cover our bodies, covers our hairs, if we don't do this litany of human conditions, not God's conditions, but the conditions that trip us up and think that if we don't do something at the right time and in a certain way, God will slap us up with a 2x4. And actually, it's because of our mistakes that God continues, and it's a 2x4 that we always use, that God, the universe, whatever, has hit me with a 2x4 when I've done wrong. Even in unity circles, we don't do this, and so God gets our attention by a 2x4. No, the reality is that God has created everything, and it is good. Our tripping ourselves up is us hitting ourselves. But there are several reasons. It's that because of the things that we are taught about God, not only in our theology, in our family's religion, in our family, in our friends, in our schools, in our society. We continue to be tripped up no matter how open, no matter how many other religions are, that we are forced by this God of punishment. And so no wonder we don't want to trust this thing. We do want to trust it, but we can't. Get me out of this mess. It becomes a plea. I will do anything. I've been a bad, bad, bad person. I won't be a bad person anymore. Another reason why. Because we don't understand God's nature. Because we continue to think that God's nature is of the human, judgmental, authoritative being. Lastly, we don't have a relationship with God. How can you trust something that even if you think you have a relationship with it, it's going to be mean to you? How can you trust that? So this chapter really talks about all the reasons you need to throw all that away and work on your trust issues. First of all, unity teaches, and Ayala gets into this, because even though it's a debate whether she's a unity minister, I know that her very, very best friend, who's mentioned in the book, Cherie Stevens, is a unity minister. She speaks a lot of unity talk. She believes in this stuff. And so what she will go into are the unity basics. And you know, so many of us are like, you know, unity's kind of simple. That's what unity is created on. Unity is positive, practical Christianity that you can use as tools for your everyday life. Why? So that we can rise And Buddhists sense we can evolve, we can be enlightened so that we can get to heaven. And the reality is that all that is here in the here and now. How can we do that here and now? Part of it is the trust in something that's loving. A trust in what is God's nature? Well, we'll go to the infinite wisdom of Charles Fillmore. Charles says, what is God? God is this infinite cause of divine principle. Is all good, and there is nothing but it in the universe. Hence, it must be all life, all love, all truth, all intelligence. There can necessity be nothing else in existence but this one principle. Consequently, it must be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, i.e., it is all-wise, it is all-knowing, it is everywhere present. It is the all of existence, and there can be nothing real outside of it or separate from it or in any way apart from it in nature or character or description. Basically, God is everything and is everywhere and within you. And the truth is that all of that is good. And if anything else outside of that is an illusion, any of you who are Course in Miracles people know that immensely. God is everything, all good, and nothing that we have to look for. God is within us. And is anything outside of that love, anything outside of that life, any way that we're misusing that power, that is on us. And it's because of a lack of trust in the truth, a lack of knowing the nature, a lack of trusting the nature based on what we have been growing up with in this power to want to form a relationship with it. Don't you want a relationship with something that is great and that will bring greatness into your life? Or as humans, do we want to continue to date the bad boy or the bad girl? Or do we want to form a relationship with something that brings greatness into our life, is greatness into our life, that we realize that we are one with this ever-presence no matter what's happening around here, in the church, in the world, in our lives? That we trust that there is only good. Because we understand the nature of God. And so it's easy how to trust God. It's simple. Actually, there's some simple rules that you already know. And you're going to say, Crystal, you know, geez, I know all this. I've heard all this a zillion times. Well, let me tell you, most religions kind of go with the same premise. There's a common denominator in everything. And if you say, I've heard this before, I don't need to know this, then my question is, are you living in heaven right here? And are you doing these things on a consistent basis? And if you're doing something and it isn't happening, I would say that you should change it up. So how do I form relationship with God? First of all, you want to have a relationship with God. You want to believe and trust that God is the greatness, and if God tells you to release and let go of something that is saving your life, do it. Don't have any qualms about it. Don't have any issues about it. Just do it. Have that kind of faith. And the way you can get there is to ask yourself these questions. Am I going to commit to this relationship? How am I going to commit to this relationship? When will you do your practice? First question is to schedule. Schedule a date to get to know God, because God knows you. God created you. You know, we're under this illusion that if God knew me better, hello, God knows us before we were born, knows us now, knows us. We are the essence of its whole being. So when are we going to get to know God? When are we going to schedule a date, schedule an appointment? Where will you do your practice? So many of us go through our practice in a place that's inconvenient for the practice. It might be convenient for us. I know there for a while, I would do my morning meditations in my bed after I got up. Not a very wise choice. It's convenient for me. I didn't have to roll up. I could just sit in the bed. My eyes were already closed. Take some deep breaths. And by the time I took my third deep breath, I was asleep again. So realistically, I'm going to have to commit to getting up out of my warm, comfortable bed. And then next, going to the way I do this. Pick a place. Place that is conducive. We have so many people here who like to go out in nature. Nature's a beautiful place to commune. Find a quiet spot. Just be in that spot. Be in that quietness to form a relationship. And the relationship is the getting to know, the getting the trust. How long are you planning on being on this date? You know, the reality is this all sounds like a lot of work. Oh, Crystal, you don't know how much time. I've heard this before. I've tried this before. I continue to, and nothing's happening. It's about a commitment to get to know the greatest essence, the greatest energy, the greatest aspect in this universe, and doing the work not on it but on ourselves to come to a level where it's constantly flowing unblocked from us. So how much time are you going to spend doing it? I'll give it 10 minutes. If that is what is feeling good to you, great. As a Buddhist monk, part of my training is to be sitting as much as I can all the time. And it isn't anything to have this kind of like peaceful, blissful, blissed out high. It's about clearing out my own junk. It's about a tool in which I can connect to the here and now. Now, in Buddhism, the here and now, depending on the lineage, they can call it God. Buddhism believes in nothing and everything. But it is connecting to the present moment. And in this present moment, there is only but one thing, according to Charles Fillmore, everything, and that is God, a great God, a beautiful God, God that has created beauty and joy, happiness, that is waiting for us if we give it the time to open up, to trust, to follow forth and move forward to it. Lastly, what kind of practice will it be? I like to do meditation. That's great. I like to pray. That's great. I like to read spiritual writings and poems, and that's great too. There is no limitation to what that practice could be. Just find yours. So many people go to gurus and this and that, hoping that they can help them and that they will bring them the peace. And no guru, no teacher, no anyone can bring you anything. We can only give you tools. It's really up to you to say, yes, I'm going to take these teachings, I'm going to take these tools, I'm going to create my practice, and I am going to form a relationship, not to escape, but to be free from any of the limits here. I'm going to do these tools and use these practices so I can grow a greater relationship with God, so I can trust that no matter what's happening in my life, in the world, all is well, because I know the nature of God, that God is good, God is all-powerful, and no matter how man are using the tools that are freely given to us all, I am going to be the shift and the changes that are needed to manifest the love, the joy, and the peace in the world. And I'm going to do that by trusting in God. And I'm going to do that by forming my practices, forming an amount of time, forming a place, and doing it. And so with that, as you go forward with your practice, I share with you a Hafiz poem called Every Child Has Known God, because I think we've all known God. And as Jesus said, I invite us to go back into the being of a little child, a little children. Sam said to say about playing, and by chance we didn't form this. This is about being in that joy. Every child has known God. Not the God of names. Not the God of don'ts. But not the God who ever does anything weird. But the God who knows only four words and keeps repeating them, saying, "Come dance with me. Come dance with me." As we go forward in our relationship, invite yourselves to dance with the beloved. It's one of the reasons why I love Sufism, because God is the beloved. God is the lover. God is the good. And I ask you to really open yourselves up, be vulnerable, to move forward, to continue, to trust in this greatness and in this good. Move forward to trust God. And as you move forward, there is an affirmation in your bulletin. Let us say it together. I know that God is in control of every moment in my life. I trust the goodness in all occurrence in my life. And at some point in time, we won't just see the God outside of us. We'll know that God is ever one with us. And eventually, these talks will be obsolete because we'll be having the realization that we are God, manifested here on earth. So let's trust so that we can be who we are. God bless you.